Welcome to the Love Your Launch podcast. I'm Tasha.
I'm Jayla Ray.
I'm Lindsay.
I'm Brianna.
And I'm Kara.
And by our powers combined, we are the Launch Guild. And you guessed it, we love launches.
But we know that not everyone is walking into their launches with a team of experts in their back pocket, and that can make launching
and all of the tech, marketing, strategy, and management of it feel a wee bit overwhelming.
So that's why we started this podcast, because our goal is to make you fall in love with launching, or at least not absolutely hate it.
We know that launches don't have to be awful or overwhelming. They can actually be fun and, dare we say, stress-free. And we know this to be true because over the last 4 years, we've helped our clients amass almost $10 million in launch revenue and do it with style and grace.
So if you're ready to fall in love with launching, or at least not hate it, then welcome to the Love Your Launch podcast.
Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Love Your Launch podcast. It's Brianna here, and I am super excited about today's show. I am here with Kara as well. She's joining
me. Hello.
Yes. So today we are talking all things social media, primarily for launches, since that's our bread and butter here, but really things that you can take to use in your regular day-to-day social media, but also to really power up your promotions. And so we really wanted to bring in our own expert. And so here we also have Lauren, who is our social media strategist.
Hi, everyone.
Yeah. So Lauren, we're so excited to have you here on the podcast. I just know that you're constantly giving our team endless tips, even things like affirmations. Like, I need to tell everyone, all the listeners, that Lauren not only knows about strategy with social media, but she also takes into account like things like managing energy within your launch to get out your best social media posts. So she is really an expert through and through when it comes to this. So we cannot wait to dive into all of this social goodness that we have for you today. So Kara, what is the thing you're most excited for as we get ready to dive into these social media posts?
Yeah, well, I think like social media seems to be where most of us promote our products. You know, that's where we put a lot of our marketing effort into to bring in some new people. Obviously, our email lists are super important, but bringing in those new faces, making connections with other people, social media is where that happens. And so being able to make the most of that, especially during a launch window, because that's really where we see engagement and reach. You don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes it goes down, but sometimes it goes up, and you really like can bring in some new faces who are intrigued by this product that you have to offer. And so I'm excited for Lauren to tell us more about some of the best posts that she's seen and how well they've performed when she's put together these launch posts. So yeah, this is going to be a good one. And I think everybody will find it useful, not just during their launch window to be using posts like this, but all the time within their business of promoting all year round. These really are the posts that are going to get the most eyeballs on your stuff.
All right. So Lauren, you have several types of social media posts for us to go through and share with the listener. So why don't you go ahead and kick us off? Let's dive in.
Yeah. Well, I really wanted to touch on Kara's point. So one thing that I really like to remind people is that social media is really that top of your funnel. So email list is obviously where you're going to make those conversions, but social media is where you reach the most amount of people and you have those daily touch points, right? So you want to make sure that your content is really engaging, highly shareable. It doesn't always have to be promotion, but we're going to touch on a few posts that are really important to include in your promotional window, in your launch window. So the first post that I wanted to talk about is Reels. Okay. So I don't think this is.
Yes. Reels. They're big right now.
Yeah. Not a surprise that this is like our number one. So one thing that I also like to remind people is that whenever Instagram or Facebook has a new feature, they're going to prioritize content being posted within that feature more highly than like feed posts, static feed posts, that sort of thing. So whenever they roll out a new feature like Reels, it's great to try and jump on it if you're an early adopter. But if you're not, that's okay too. So engaging Reels. Okay. So about 91% of users actually watch videos on Instagram weekly. So we want to try and get as much video on Instagram as possible. And people share video content with their friends twice as much as any other content. So those are two really great reasons right there to create reels, get out of your comfort zone, try something new, just to increase that reach. That's super important.
Yeah, I remember when Instagram was all about the feed and curation, and stock photos and flat lays were actually really huge on Instagram like 3 to 5 years ago. And this shift to video content has been massive.
Reels too show personality. You know what I mean? I think that's my favorite part about Reels. And I think that's why they're so big right now, is because Reels really show off when you're goofing around. Like, there's the goofy ones where you're singing or you're dancing or whatever. It just shows who you are, but it's also, they can be really informative and send out so much valuable content and like information in like just few seconds.
I think that that's a really great way to showcase your personality as well. And I think a lot of people feel almost pressured to be this silly, goofy person on Reels when that's really not maybe who they are or really how they feel comfortable showing up on Reels. So, you know, it doesn't really have to be that complicated. You can take video footage of, or even like splice together some of your Instagram stories. You know, take a story of you having a cup of coffee, take a story of, you know, you writing down your top three priorities for the day. And then, you know, another 15-second story about you going on a Zoom call or something, and then stitch them together, add, you know, trending audio or music, and there's the reel right there. So whether you are the type of person that loves to show up and showcase that big personality and be goofy and silly, that's awesome. As well as, you know, you can also be that person that, you know, just repurposes content and doesn't necessarily need to create new content like that all the time.
Yes, Lauren, I love that tip. And I think it's so important and something that people are totally missing, because with the feed, it kind of became easy to automate Instagram and just, you know, have some posts written, some copy written, and pick a picture and put things on, even if you didn't want to show your face. And now I think people are starting to feel the pressure because they do have to show up on video, and they're thinking, how can I possibly make time to, you know, record myself dancing or record myself doing all of these transitions that are crazy viral on these platforms? But I love that bridge that you've presented for people who maybe have been on stories and just showing up and saying a few words on stories and repurposing that for Reels, especially as you're dipping your toes in. I think that's a beautiful way to start transitioning where it doesn't feel so jarring or weird or awkward.
Definitely. Yep. I love that.
Yeah. All right. So we have more to get to. So, and I just wanted to point out, I meant to say this at the beginning, but a lot of what we're going to talk about today is related to Instagram. We've just found with our own company and with our clients, Instagram is a really strong platform and a platform that we love to, you know, promote on for our launches. So all of these are going to be Instagram centric in a way, but they are very transferable to other platforms. So whether you like showing up on Instagram, Facebook, other platforms, definitely see how you can take each of these posts and sort of reformat them, or, you know, give them a few changes and tweaks to have them fit on your favorite platform. All right. So number two, what's our next one, Lauren?
So live Q&As. We do schedule live Q&As for most of our clients within their launch window, typically towards the end, just to give them an opportunity to really reach out about those frequently asked questions and help people make the decision whether or not it's right for them to buy their course at that time. So why live Q&As are so important is because give that opportunity for your customers to really think through the decision, but also guys, go back to the algorithm, right? So Facebook and Instagram users are 4 times more likely to watch live videos than pre-recorded video. That's huge. 4 times more likely. I mean, that reach is, ooh, you got to show up live. And I know that that's really difficult as well for a lot of people because they're afraid of stumbling over their words. What are they going to talk about? Those sorts of things. Write out a quick little outline for yourself. You can make it short. A live doesn't have to be an hour. It can be 20 minutes. That's totally fine. And also use the question sticker beforehand in your stories. So ask people to drop questions about your course or whatever you're promoting, you know, 24 hours beforehand, gather those questions, and then use that to answer during your live Q&A.
Those are great points. And one other thing that I want to throw out there is, I know I personally have experienced this where you put out a sticker question on your stories and nobody responds. And you're like, well, now I can't do my live Q&A. No. Still show up. No one has to know that nobody dropped a question there. Use your FAQs that you have on your sales page. Or if you've been communicating with someone in the DMs and they've asked a question, keep that in the back of your mind or on a spreadsheet somewhere. You can use any of those questions. Anything that you think your ideal client might be curious about within your course, that is what you can talk about on these live Q&As. And just getting yourself out there, even if people don't ask questions during the live Q&A, like Lauren said, the reach on these live videos is amazing. So you've got eyeballs at least listening and taking it in and really understanding what your course is all about and the transformation that it's going to provide them.
That's a really great point, Kara.
Yes. And I think we've mentioned this on previous episodes where the more you can give people opportunities to connect with you just as a person and as a human, besides, you know, of course, it's important to present value and to partake in the sales process, of course, but also people love buying from people. When you show up live and someone can ask you a question and then get an answer in real time, I just feel like there's a whole different layer of connection that you can, you know, really build and relationships that you can build through these live Q&As. It's also a place that we have really found to be good for objection busting, as I would call it, right? What did you guys say about that?
For sure. I mean, we see this even in the Q&As on webinars. So when people are doing their sales event and they have those Q&As, that's really where they're able to, like you said, if people have an issue with the price point, or if people have issue with how much time they have to invest, or whatever it might be, there's so many different objections you're going to hear. But you have that opportunity then to really validate why you're at that price point, or why you have it for so many weeks, or why you've created your course to be the way it is. And I think those live opportunities to answer those questions they're more authentic too, because they're not scripted necessarily. They're just you be you speaking the truth.
Exactly. And I love that, because video really allows people to see your excitement and see your passion and see why you believe in something. So it's really a prime opportunity to address those objections and sell your course, because you put your whole heart and soul into this, and people will see that if you show up on live video.
Yes, amazing. Okay, so I don't think our video train is done yet. So what's our next post?
All right, testimonial videos. So half of users say they have visited a brand's website to purchase a product or service after seeing it being featured in stories. So this is just one example of how video is so powerful, and especially testimonial videos. So it's another way to show people, to kind of address those objections as well. Like, you know, if they're thinking, oh, I don't know if this is a great fit for me, they'll see all these other people who have benefited from it and be able to relate to them and see their excitement and their passion coming through on video as well. And then they'll be more likely to buy.
Yes. And there's a few different ways that we've collected these, because I imagine that's going to be a barrier for some people. Is how do I even get a testimonial video? How do I ask someone for that? So I would love to pop in some tips here as far as obtaining these videos. First of all, it's totally fine to simply reach out to past clients or past students and say, hey, I would love for you to share your experience that you had in my course. Would you be able to film a quick video, even if it's just, you know, 10 seconds sharing one of your takeaways or why you love the course? That would be amazing. So you can just flat out ask. But another tool that we've used for this is actually called Video Ask, and it allows you to send a link to someone and they can record a video, they can record an audio that's saved automatically and sent to you, where their, you know, their testimonial can easily be recorded on their own time. So that's been really, really an awesome tool for us.
And one other thing you can do is, if your past client or whoever, your past student, is comfortable with it, doing a live interview type thing on your Instagram or Facebook or wherever, or even inviting them into your webinar and just having a, hey, would love for you to tell your story of why you decided to join my program, what results you got from it, and having that open Q&A session with them and just kind of talking with them through it. I think that's one really easy way. Just block a time on your calendar. You jump on, use, what's the platform, Brianna, that you can use to stream it into StreamYard?
StreamYard, yes, is one that we've used.
Yes, that's the one. It was on the tip of my tongue. Y'all know that I cannot think of words half the time. So. but yeah, that's a great one where you just jump on. It takes, you know, just 10 minutes out of the day, and people love, if they've enjoyed your program, people will genuinely love to help you out and promote in that way. So don't be afraid, just ask.
Yeah. And another way to, like Kara said, get that testimonial video is to ask them to show up on a live Q&A. And a feature on Instagram that allows you to double the reach is when you have someone else on your live Q&A show up, their profile says that they're live as well as your profile says that you're live. So not only are you getting that bump of like four times more likely to watch live videos and pre-recorded videos from your audience, but you're also getting double that amount of reach with joining forces with someone.
Such a great tip. I didn't know this. I love learning new things, yes, every day.
It's amazing. I mean, and social proof is the name of the game. And so the more you can incorporate that, of course, written testimonials are great. If that's what you have, use them. But anytime that you can record a video or incorporate video, don't be shy. Give it a swing. We have done all of these different formats. We've had people come in and talk in our webinars. We've had students come on a podcast. We've had students show up at a live Q&A. And sometimes you have to test out a few different ones to see what format you like hanging out with your students and having them present their testimonials, but they can all be a lot of fun.
And whenever it's possible, it's always great to make sure that you use subtitles with your testimonial videos. So a lot of people scroll through their feeds without sound on. And so just to make sure that you're getting that message across and that excitement is coming across as well, you can use subtitles, then that is great.
Awesome. Yes, I'm so glad you mentioned that. So important. Is there are some automatic subtitle capabilities within Instagram, right?
Yep. On Instagram stories, you can record a video and then there's a sticker that says captions. And so you have to tap on that and then it'll automatically create your captions for you.
Do you know the number one indicator of a financially successful launch versus one that, well, isn't?
If you said an engaged and nurtured community, then you'd be 100% right.
The most successful launches are always ones where your audience is primed and ready for the thing you're offering. And that starts way before the sales page.
One of the best ways to start cultivating a community of raving fans and ready buyers is through your email list. I know, you've heard that before, right? But there's a reason you've heard that, because it's true. And the best way to build an email list is through an irresistible opt-in.
Need a new opt-in idea? We've got you covered. Head to thelaunchguild.com/10 and grab your list of 10 unconventional opt-in ideas.
Opt-ins don't have to be time-consuming to create or be 10,000 pages long. We're giving you a list of 10 high-converting, easy-to-implement, and unconventional opt-in ideas. Grab it now and get your opt-in out into the world in no time. Just head to thelaunchguild.com/10.
An opt-in about opt-ins. How meta.
We've been through three of our crowd favorite posts already. So let's dive into number four. What's next?
All right. So number four is all about being controversial or oppositional. So basically, this is a post with a very bold quote or stance. We always tell our clients not to be afraid to have a stance on a topic that they're passionate about. People are more likely to find you this way and relate to you. And one of the things that I wanted to kind of bring up with this is explainer carousel. So this is a type of content that is really popular on Instagram and really rose to popularity in 2020. So there were a lot of carousels about what was happening in the world, how to digest it, understand these complex issues. But they're also a really great type of content to use for something that you're passionate about. And they're a great way to explain your stance on a topic slide by slide.
Yeah, so this is where we've kind of seen the transition of people putting text and information on graphics instead, right? And then there's algorithm juice in having people slide through multiple of those posts at one time, right, with the carousel.
Yep. So the longer you can get someone to stay on your piece of content, the higher it rises in priority in the algorithm, if that makes sense. So you want people to interact with your content. You want people to slide through it, watch it, tap on it, like it, comment, share, all those sorts of things. And then it'll be prioritized even higher within the algorithm to your other followers and non-followers.
Well, and I just want to talk to you about why we're saying controversial or oppositional and why that can actually be useful to you. Because I know a lot of people have come to us being like, well, I don't want to post this because it might turn some people off. And I want to reassure you that that is actually okay, because it means that they're not your people. And so, you know, by being a little bit controversial or bold in what you're saying, you know, by saying, giving a little bit of tough love or something like that to your ideal client, like if people aren't going to be okay with that, if they don't like that vibe, that's fine. That's fine. Then that means that they're not going to love your teaching style, or you want to bring in your people. And so it's totally okay. I think that's really what I wanted to say, but just don't be afraid of taking a stand on things or being afraid to turn people off if they won't purchase your product, because then other people who do have the same beliefs as you, who do have the same stances as you, they're more likely to, because they can really connect with you on a personal level.
Exactly. And you can really dip your toe into this type of content. So one of the clients that we're working with right now, we created a story for them yesterday and kind of hopped on this bandwagon. So we saw that there were a lot of comments happening about mayo. All right. So typically, I wouldn't suggest that people post about mayo, but we're going to roll with it. So
mayo as in like mayonnaise? Is that what we're talking about right now?
Okay. So I saw this little discussion happening among our clients' followers. And so I took this and I put it into our Instagram story and put a poll and was like, hot take. Do you like Duke's mayonnaise or Hellman's? And it was so popular. So, I mean,
I love this so much.
it was awesome. So, you know, being controversial and oppositional, of course, we want you to relate it back to your mission, right? And take a stance on something that you're really passionate about. But you can also dip your toe in little by little and do something silly about mayonnaise or, you know, maybe hot take. You don't like Harry Potter. I can't imagine that, but maybe, you know, that's sort of a stance that you would want to see how your audience responds, see the kind of engagement interaction that you get, and then kind of go from there.
Love that.
Yes.
I love that it doesn't have to be like controversial, doesn't necessarily have to be these like really deep, like issues and world problems and like all that type of stuff. It can be things that are fun too. You know, I love that you bring up that point because that's so awesome.
Yes. And I love that if you can incorporate humor, I don't want people to feel like they have to incorporate humor in all the things, because I know that's some people's hesitation, but anytime you can incorporate pieces of your personality like that, think about the way your relationships have blossomed when you shared a laugh with someone that you hadn't shared a laugh with before. It's like a whole new connection point. So even if you're not, you know, doing some deep sharing of a controversial thing that, you know, has to do with the whole wide world, and you're just sharing about something silly like mayo, that's like one other connection point, one other thing that you laughed about with your audience where they spent a little bit of time with you. And again, just building those relationships. I guess that's just what I'm going to mention on every single episode. It's just something I can't help but bring up every time. Yeah.
Well, and it's so important to mention that. I mean, I think it's worth noting in almost every single episode about building those relationships. And that actually, you know, ties into our last point, getting personal and sharing a photo of you and your why. So for me as a social media manager, it's really important to remind people that connection and trust comes first on social media and then promotion, especially if you are the face of your brand. If you have a personal brand, if it's your name, you want people to know that you are behind, even if you're not creating your own content. That's okay. But you want people to know that that connection is there and that those really important, unique qualities are there as well. So a lot of times I'll hear that people don't know exactly how to write these captions of how to be personal or anything like that. And Brianna, you brought up the really important point that I was also thinking about, was just write like you were talking to a friend. And if you need to, even call up a friend. A great exercise is just to call a friend, say, hey, I need to record this, but I want to tell you about my business and why I started it. And then record it, write your caption exactly like how you said it. That's a really great way to build connection and a really great way to show your personality as well.
Yes, so important. So getting personal is really that last piece that we have for you. And I'm so glad it was at the end, because really at the end of the day, that's what this all comes down to. Because like Lauren said, building that trust is the first step in also entering, you know, a buying decision. You know, you buy from people that you trust. And so the more that you can, you know, have that be a part of your marketing strategy is building connection and trust. It's going to push everything forward.
We've said this before, you know, when it does come to sales, because if you're listening to this, then you're thinking about launching a product. So like when it does come down to sales, people are buying not necessarily your product, but they're buying from a person. And so if they can't relate to you, then they're less likely to buy your product. Like that's that first step. Exactly what everybody has said so far is it's really about building that connection first. And so open up, like open up about your life, open up about, you know, what is your why? Why did you start your business? Is it to have more freedom and so you could travel? Is it because you're a parent and you want to be able to have that flexibility to spend time with your children? Is it because, gosh, there's so many different reasons why? Is it because you just were sick of working underneath somebody else? You wanted to be your own boss? You know, like what is your why? And tell your audience about it, because that's going to just connect with them on such a deeper level. And it just grows respect for you as well.
Yes, for sure. And even if you don't, for those of you who don't serve B2B and you're more serving consumers, think about why you built your product. Like what was the problem that you had and then the solution that you found and now you want to share with other people. So even if it's not entirely relevant to your customers to share why you started your business, share why you created your course, your program, your product, and you know, go back to that why over and over. If you can even build, as you discover more about your why, at least I found that we've discovered a lot about ourselves and what we've learned through creating more content. Like more and more just comes up like, oh, this came up today. We should definitely share that with our audience. So I actually think as you practice putting this content out there, more starts to come to mind and people start to respond to you and give you more ideas. So it can really create a beautiful snowball effect. All right. So we have made it through. That is all five of our crowd favorite posts. Lauren, would you do a quick review of all five for us?
All right. So number one, engaging reels. Number two, live Q&As. Number three, testimonial videos. Number four, controversial or oppositional posts with a bold stance or quote. And then lastly, number five, getting personal and sharing your why.
Yes. And again, you can use these in your launch windows. So when you're in promotion mode or in your just your day-to-day posts and you want to include these, they can also be great nurturing content. All right. So at this point, we are going to move on to our next segment of the show, which is going to be our hotline question. So let's dive into our launch hotline. So we today have a question from Nomi. Kara, why don't you go ahead and read this one?
Nomi is starting out as a launch strategist. So this is more of a question and answer for people who are supporting other people, but I'm sure people who are launching themselves can really, this can help them too. So she says, I find I have a hard time customizing a strategy and frequently building the same strategy. How can I focus on my clients individually to build them a customized strategy for their needs? even if it looks similar to something else I've done in the past? And I love this question. Again, I think it relates not just to people who are supporting others within a launch, but if you're launching yourself and you're coming up with your own strategy and you feel like I'm doing it over and over and over and over and over again, the same exact way, how can you tweak and change and make it a little bit different? Really, I think it's a matter of optimizing. Nomi, I don't think there's an issue with starting with the same kind of foundation. If you found things that work for all of your clients, you know, there might be differences in what type of sales event they have, or there's going to be a difference in how long their open cart window is, or how long you're promoting it. So there are little things that can change that can make a big difference. It could involve different things that you're adding in. Are they going to do a live Q&A like we talked about in our episode today? Things like that that can change, that can fit better with different people and different audiences. And so if you're feeling too, if you have been doing the same strategy over and over and over again, look back at your data and your metrics and see what's working and what's not, and start to change things or make tweaks. Change up your copy or change up how you're presenting on social media. Those types of things can all change within a strategy that can help grow. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, so I'll dive in because I love this question. And I want to be a little bit of a devil's advocate and say that structure and like repetition don't have to be limitations. So templatizing your, you know, your launch strategy, if something's working, just like Kara said, don't be afraid to do it all over again, because it's important to remember with launches, while some of the people going through will have seen you previously launch, and so they may notice that a couple of pieces of your, you know, your content or your pitch are similar to last time, I don't think that's a surprise to anyone, but they likely need to hear it again. You know, people need to see things 7 to even 21 times is like the new statistic with how much advertising people see in the digital age, 7 to 21 times to feel comfortable with a buying decision. So I think it's totally fine to repeat the same strategy. Of course, little tweaks can go a long way. And so I think whether you're a strategist working multiple clients or you're launching your own course, really don't be afraid to rinse and repeat. There's no need to go on a totally different tangent because it is a little risky in some ways. Of course, if it fuels your fire and you love testing out new things, we're all for testing. At the same time, there is some risk in trying something new because you don't have data that it works for you.
Yeah, going along with your point, I love that. We've had clients do the same webinar. It's the same webinar, same title, over and over, but it works. It converts. And so if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, if it's converting, if you're seeing good show up rates, if people like the title of it, yeah, just keep going with it. Keep going with it. And those, like Brianna said, those small tweaks really do make a difference.
Yes. And Lauren, since you're here with us today, I'd love to hear your take on this with social media. I think especially there are some camps where people are all about repurposing and other people who just want to create new because they don't want to reuse the same content. So how do you look at this question?
Yeah, definitely. So for building a more customized strategy for each client, I do suggest going into their insights and looking at their top posts for the past year. So that's going to be different for every single client, and it's going to be easy for you to repurpose the posts that performed well and use them as part of your launch strategy. So for one client, it may have been their top post was video. For another client, maybe have been their top post was a carousel or a meme. You know, there are lots of different types of content. So you can take a look at that, see, okay, so this meme of Beyonce performed really well for our client. So I'm going to repurpose this and add a caption about our promotion or something like that. So I'm definitely on the camp of repurposing as much as possible. It takes a lot of energy to create new content. And when it is possible to repurpose as much as you can. And you can always repurpose them into different types of content. You can repurpose a blog post into a reel. You can repurpose a carousel into a story. You know, there are lots of different ways to go about this. But if you look at those top 5 to 10 posts from the past year, then that'll really give you a framework for building out that customized social media strategy for each of your clients.
Amazing. All right. Well, thank you so much, Nomi, for your question. So if you have a burning question about launching, or you want to share with us some of your previous launch experience and want us to talk about it a little bit or evaluate it with you, go to thelaunchguild.com/hotline and you can submit your question there. We love chatting all things launch strategy. So, I mean, that's what we do all day in case you haven't noticed. All right. Well, thank you so much, ladies. It's been amazing talking with you today. And so I'll see you all soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening. Let's continue the conversation over on Instagram. You can find us on Instagram at The Launch Guild.
And if you liked this episode, be sure to subscribe, share it with friends, and leave us a review. We'd greatly appreciate it.
Last but not least, don't forget to grab your free download of 10 unconventional opt-in ideas so you can start growing your email list. You can find that at thelaunchguild.com/10.
Until next time.